Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. If you are new to this show, it's our little bite-sized edition we do every week where we just get the latest news lines with a local journalist. Now, this show, since its inception, was done with Get Reading and Charles Watts, but unfortunately, for those of you who don't know, in January, Charles moved on to pastures new. He got to cover his beloved Arsenal. So the show went on a bit of a hiatus. It was tough trying to set up with a new co-host and get the show on the air, especially with the demands of doing the main edition of the podcast as well. So I let it rest for a few months, worked on it, thought, who can I get to possibly fill Charles's shoes? And ultimately, I found this fine young gentleman, if only because, more than anything else, like Charles Watts, it turns out he is actually an Arsenal fan. But he covers Reading for the Wokingham paper. It is Tom Crocker. Tom, welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. Great to have you on.
Morning, pleasure to be here, and hopefully don't hold the Arsenal thing against me from the start. But following on in Charles's footsteps nicely from that one as well.
Absolutely, we'll get to it later, but you've already followed his spectacular footsteps in the Prediction League as well. So nice familiar feeling recording this morning. But before we launch into all the latest news lines, said there's lots to get to. Let's just hear a little bit about yourself. I mean, I said you work for the Wokingham paper. How long have you been a journo? How long have you been working there and covering Reading?
Yeah, so I mean, I started out in journalism sort of work experience really at AFC Bournemouth back when they were League One, League Two club, just going along on match days when it was a media team, was me and one other person. That's obviously grown a lot since then. And then I went straight out of school to a short journalism course, had a contact at the Reading Post, and went and covered some sort of freelance shifts up there as and when any of the sports guys were off, Charles or Jonathan or whatever. Remember the first Reading game I did was Sunderland away. Someone jumped out of that trip and I went up to there for a night game, Premier League. I think they lost 3-0.
Dom Samuel's debut, I think.
Yes, quite possibly. I remember it was a big Danny Guthrie story on that day as well, I think. He meant to play and didn't for whatever reason. But
His head wasn't right.
That's the line, I think. Yeah, sounds about right. That was the first game, and then did freelance shifts for them up until the very last day of the post. Then it was a few months of quiet, and then obviously Jonathan and Charles went off to Get Reading. Myself and a couple of the other guys that were made redundant from the Reading Post set up the Wokingham paper early in 2015. Then I started there in April of 2015. My first game, Reading game, was the FA Cup semi-final against Arsenal at Wembley. And then I was basically covering local stuff, local football and cricket for the first year or so. Then the editor left, Lewis left, and I became the sports editor and started covering Reading on a regular basis at the start of last season under Yap. So it was a good first season there, and I basically go to every home game, few away games as well now, and looking forward to getting back involved again with it tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, not bad. If your first game technically for the paper is an FA Cup semi-final, and then your first full season is as editor is getting to Wembley as well. I'm hoping that the first season on the Tilehurst End Podcast Extra means that we'll surely win at Wembley, right? Come on, third time's the charm.
Can't promise it, but maybe another Wembley trip at least. I've had one per season so far.
No, we're not allowed to go to Wembley unless we win this time. Can't take it anymore. just can't.
Well, we'll have a cup final and an automatic promotion. How about that? So,
well, we'll do. Well, to be fair, we might get there in if we beat Millwall in the second round of the Carabao Cup and get Spurs away. We've got a trip to Wembley. Bam.
That's true. We've got glamour tie against Millwall, and I'll put out a tweet yesterday and nobody came back hoping for a draw against Millwall, but
I think Barnett, Jake Cooper's happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a nice one for him. Obviously it's a home draw on my view, so it's a good chance to get through. But
yeah, absolutely. You always, that's what you want in the early rounds of these competitions. I know some people say, yeah, I want the glamour trips, but especially in the first couple of rounds, you just want home games, preferably against as weak opposition as you can, and just see how far you can get. Basically until we run into Arsenal and get knocked out. But moving away from the Carabao Cup, you said, you know, last season, your first full season as editor, what did you expect coming into this season? I know you've been away on holiday for the first couple of weeks, which is why this show's only starting now, but what did you think before that QPR game, and have your expectations changed at all?
I don't think they changed after one game. I mean, I know everybody wrote Reading off again at the start of this season, despite what happened last season, but I came into it thinking if they finish outside the top 10, I'd be very surprised. I think obviously it's hard to say if they'll finish 10th or in the top couple. I think that sort of depends on, you probably get, if you're in that mix in around about March time, you have a good run of games and you push up towards the playoffs, I think it'll be pretty similar again. I think the big thing was keeping Yap's down. If they've got Yap, then I think they've got a very good chance of being up there near promotion. I think he's that good of a manager that even with all the problems in the squad at the moment, when you get your players back, I'm pretty sure they'll go on a solid run. I'll say I'd back them, as you touched on there, to beat QPR. I didn't quite gather the injury situation at that time when I guessed that, but I still would have fancied them with that team they put out, and I think pretty sure they'll put that right fairly soon and march off the bottom of the table after one game at least.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Literally the only way is up from this point, so you know, it can't get any worse. Yeah, fingers crossed, touching any sort of wood I can find around here. But we'll get onto the injury list going into the Fulham game in just a minute. But you know, Yap hasn't been a massively happy man. You can tell from his news conferences and his post-match comments that he's desperate to get players in the door. Not a great deal of players, but at least two or three of real quality. Lots of rumours flying around this summer. Who is the latest? Who do you think is actually any credible rumours going around at the moment?
I think the top one you look around is Bakuna. That sounds from, you have to read from the Villa end, and it certainly sounds, he was left out, of course, the other night, and it sounds like he's very much in line to maybe join Reading. It would kind of fit the bill. I mean, I've mostly seen him playing as a right-sided player, but it sounds like he plays central as well. And I think, as you say, Yap's unhappy, but I don't think they need too many players. I think a central midfielder is vital. I think they're short there, and I'd say they need a striker as well. But apart from that, I don't think there's too many more areas that really need strengthening. Nelson Oliveira name's been going around, and I saw Fulham boss was talking about Shawnee Aluko yesterday, and he said there is interest from Reading, so he at least confirmed that again, but said he doesn't think he'll be sold now, so we'll see about that. And then the other name is probably Lewis Baker, but it looks like he's on his way to Middlesbrough, so that's another one who's slipped through the net, if you like, although Yap doesn't tend to prefer loan signings anyway, so if you can get Bakuna over the line, I think that'd be a good thing, and move on to trying to find a striker.
Yeah, Leandro Bakuna, Aston Villa, utility man. And that's the thing that strikes me about it when you read everything from Aston Villa fans, is that he seems to be one of these players that you can put him in anywhere. I think he played some like 9 positions at various stages last season. So he can sort of play anywhere. He's that utility role. But my only concern with utility players like that, Tom, is that sometimes they don't necessarily have a strong position. So when you're actually picking like a strong first 11, it's maybe not a name that immediately comes onto your team sheet.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, like I say, I seem to remember him as a right back or a right winger, but he can also take a great free kick, which is always handy. I remember him scoring a few of them in the Premier League. So, but yeah, it's a good point, and it's one that I'm sure they've thought about. But it also has its upsides as well. I mean, right now the squad as it is, he'd be perfect. You can put him wherever, we need someone everywhere really. So whether he's brought in as a nailed down first choice player, I mean, I just think you look in that you'll probably be using central midfield based on the players that you've got in there. I think they need another body at the moment, and as time goes on he might move out elsewhere, and it's up to him really to play well in one position and nail down a particular spot in one position. I don't think they maybe would have bought him in one position, he'll play somewhere else, but it's kind of down to him to nail down one particular place.
Absolutely. And he's Dutch as well, which massively helps, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
The fee random is reported to be quite around. Apparently, we've had a bit of around £1 million turned down. How much money do you think is in the pot now for Yap? Because we've heard speculation of, you know, £8 million bids for Oliveira and things like that. How much money do you actually think is available for Yap to spend if you had to give an educated guess?
It's the $1 million question.
$1 million, eh? That as little
well,
as that.
It's a question we ask him on a regular basis, and he tends to come back and say they can't be spending £8 million on a player, and I probably would go along with that. I think it's highly unlikely if they get to the deadline and this suddenly they've got no one, maybe. But I just can't see him splashing that sort of money on a player. So we try and get, well, 1 million for Bakuna would be about right. I think they've probably got, they've got money to bring in a striker, I'm fairly sure about that, but I don't think they've got the sort of money to splash out that much on a striker, really. They didn't bring any money in particularly this summer. You've obviously got the new owners, but we haven't spoken to them really yet, so it's hard to put an exact figure on it, but I'd say there's enough to get a midfielder and a striker in, certainly.
Yeah, fingers crossed. They need to spend a little bit of money. I mean, it's a crazy championship we're in now when the likes of Bristol City are able to spend £5 million on a striker, not to mention just the lunacy that's going on in the Premier League and in Europe when one player goes for over £200 million. It really puts the whole rest of the championship into perspective. So hopefully get a couple more in before the deadline. So we've got, 3 weeks or so now to the deadline. Mm. So fingers crossed we can get a couple in through the door. But let's talk about what we've already got. Injury-wise, a massive injury list, as we touched on going into that QPR game. I think there were 9 or 10 first teamers out. We couldn't even name a full bench. We only had 6 men on there. We saw Stephen Quinn come into the off the bench against Gillingham. So that was one back. What about the rest? Do we expect to see anybody else make that return on Saturday?
Yes, I think so. I mean, after the game, I say I wasn't there because I was going to go back on Tuesday and didn't go over to the game, but we had some guys there. And from the press conference, Yap said that a few of those guys were due back in training on Wednesday morning. So presumably that would mean they'd be involved on Saturday at least. I mean, a couple of the guys played Saturday and Tuesday, so they might get a rest on the weekend. Trying to think which in particular, because he said some will be back on Wednesday morning and
yeah,
others.
Joe Vandenberg, I think, has been close. I think Jordan Obita and Joe Vandenberg were the two, at least from Saturday, that he said were seemingly the closest. Neither involved on Tuesday night, but you'd like to hope that the two of those, if they were close, might be fit for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, so you don't think we've had a concrete diagnosis of Bodvarsson yet either. And I mean, Yap said a few players were back on Wednesday morning. The majority of the rest of them would be back on Monday morning. So he said within 10 days that the squad would look a lot healthier. So you'd imagine a few of them would be back on Saturday and a few will be back for the next Tuesday's game against Villa. And obviously a couple, I mean, Callum Harriott and McCleary, I think, are still a few weeks away. But I think the rest, when you look at the list, shouldn't be really that far away now. We should obviously at least fill the bench and make the squad look a lot healthier for the weekend.
Yeah. Just having 7 subs would be nice. And it was nice to see, again, I know you weren't unfortunately able to be there, but it was nice to see some of the younger players, the Renamotas of this world, step up and show that they can at least, you know, they can take on a League One side. Theoretically, they should at least be able to occupy a bench slot on Saturday. So, you know, it's Fulham. It's, funnily enough, the last time we played a championship game at home at the Molesey Stadium was against Fulham. Slightly different atmosphere, I imagine, on Saturday compared to that Raw. Because what was it, a Monday night now? I've completely forgotten. Was it a Monday or a Tuesday in that playoff semi-final?
I believe it was a Tuesday because our deadline was a Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday. And obviously the takeover was announced the same night.
So yes.
It was a memorable evening for sure, that one.
Yeah. But, you know, whereas Reading are sort of had a bit of a summer of, I wouldn't say wobbling, but, you know, with the injuries and the couple of unexpected departures, it's not exactly been a summer for us to build on. Fulham look like they've stayed pretty strong. You know, they are one of the favourites with the bookmakers for the division. We touched on it on our main show on Wednesday night that the bookmakers have got Fulham evens favourites to win this. Reading are close to 3-1. Do you think that's fair? Do you think Fulham are that much stronger than us?
I think that's not dissimilar to many Reading home games last season, even when Reading were in the top 6 anyway, so I'm sure they're not too bothered. I think Fulham are favourites for most games they go into, but for a Reading home game to be 3-1, they lost twice last season, and both of those games they really shouldn't have lost them. So obviously Fulham are a great side and in this league, and they'll be up there. You'd imagine the team they put out last week was fairly similar to the one that played Reading in the playoffs, whereas Reading are missing sort of half of their team from that game. So it depends a little bit on who Yap can get back fit, I think, but Fulham, I'd certainly expect them to be up near the top of the league, but I'd expect Reading to be up there as well. So I wouldn't say it's a 3-1 even split. I think that's a bit harsh.
We saw in that playoff game that Yap was a lot more pragmatic and quite happy to, you know, the defensive effort they put in, especially at Craven Cottage in the first leg, was something we really hadn't seen from this Stam side. Do you expect him to stick to that sort of philosophy and really sort of, you know, play as the underdog and try and nick something? Or do you think that because it's early in the season, he's trying to bed in new players, he'll stick to his normal sort of style? What would you do if you were him?
It's an interesting one. I mean, you touched on it there that it's early in the season. I think he mainly went for that sort of tactic because it was a cup game, and he was saying all in the weeks building up that they're preparing just for a knockout fixture. And I know everyone outside of Reading said Fulham were going to win, but I did actually fancy Reading to get a job done against them. I know Yaps are in all the big moments last season. He managed to dig a result out of the team, so I think that was a big moment for the team then. It's a fairly big moment this weekend just because they lost last week and they got Villa on Tuesday. I'm not sure it'll be quite as cagey maybe. I think they'll try and play football as they always do at home. And obviously we relied a lot on Ali for the game last year and the league game as well. I think he saved a penalty in the last minute and made a couple of great saves in the playoff semi-final. And whenever you mention the 5-1 or 5-0, was it a away game, he always quickly comes back to say all the other games they drew or beat them. So I don't think it'll be quite as open as that away game they lost. But it wouldn't surprise me if Fulham had more of the ball. But Reading have got more than a good chance of winning the game, I think.
Yeah, I can't say I'm going into this one with a massive deal of optimism. Although in saying that, Reading haven't lost back-to-back games to start a league season this millennia. So there we go. There's a record to protect. Key question now, though, is Tom, it's your first chance on air to put your money where your mouth is. It's prediction league time. Now, on the podcast, main edition of the show, on Wednesday, I went for a 1-1 draw. Mark has gone for a 2-0 Fulham win. So what say you?
Like I say, I'm always fairly confident they'll get something from a home game. So I think I'll go along the lines of you, but I'll go, just to mix it up, be a bit different, go 2-2.
Okay, nice high-scoring home draw. Well, certainly gives him entertainment factor going forward. And then it is Villa on Tuesday. Obviously, quite difficult to preview that one so far in advance. But another really tough team. You know, it's not an easy start for Reading. You know, you've got the likes of John Terry and co. arriving in town as well. Just touching on that and sort of the wider Championship, do you expect them to be in that sort of top six mix?
I'm sure they'll be in the mix. They've spent a lot of money, and you just look at the League Cup team they put out the other day. They had Scott Hogan up front, and he's not. They've got other guys in that squad as well who are maybe ahead of him up front, so they've certainly got an expensively bought squad, and they brought John Terry, and they got experienced quality players. So if they're not up the top six, then I think there'll be questions to be asked from Villa this season, more so than last year maybe. But I'm not sure if they'll necessarily definitely finish above Reading, though. I think it takes time for the team to gel, and whether they, I think Reading's team spirit is something which is hard to replicate among some of the maybe bigger signings. So Wolves spent a lot last year and got nowhere near it, so it's just kind of impossible to predict the Championship. Yeah. It seems anyone can beat anyone. Well, I think of the four playoff teams, none of them won last weekend. So from last season, I don't think any of them won last weekend. So it shows how open it is. And but I certainly expect Villa to be up there challenging it for it, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got such an array of talent. And the thing about it is they've got Steve Bruce as well, who just knows. He's got a team out of this division four times. He's just the sort of manager that gets, you know. Sometimes I think, you know, because these managers don't set the Premier League alight, they get this sort of stigma. And we were talking about it last week in regards to Ian Holloway. You know, these managers, the Warnocks of this world, there's just something about they know how to manage in the Championship, and the amount of times they failed compared to the amount of times they've got it right just means you should never back against them. So I'm fully expecting them to be in the top two. I'd fancy them much more than Middlesbrough. I know Middlesbrough have spent a load of cash under Gary Monk. It looks like they're going to snatch Baker, as you mentioned, away from us as well. But I would still back Bruce over Monk. So who do you think? Who's your tip for the three to go up then?
Blimey. Say everyone is back in Middlesbrough, but like you, I mean, they've spent a lot of money, but some of those players aren't 100% proven at this level. I mean, I quite like the guys Wolves have brought in. I think some of them are actual Champions League players, so that quality is bound to show at some point. So it wouldn't surprise me if they are up there this time around, even though it went wrong last year. And then who else? I mean,
you've got the Derbies, you've got the teams down, you've got Hull.
I'm not going to mention Leeds,
Sunderland.
I think. Sunderland, mate. I'd say maybe Fulham. I think they've been good for a few years, so I think they'll be up there. And then why not Reading as a third team?
Yeah, I quite fancy Brentford as a bit of my sleeper pick. I quite like what they've been doing. I think they were very strong at home last year and just couldn't seem to figure it out away from home. I think they'll bounce back. I know they got beaten on the opening day, but I quite like what's going down there in West London. So they're my little sleeper pick. But Tom, thank you very much. Good to get your debut out the way. You know, hopefully get feeling match fit now.
Yeah,
ready to go for this long season.
Yeah, long season ahead, and debut's done, and on to the next few weeks, see what I can bring to the table.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. As I said, thank you very much for joining us. Where can we follow your writing? Where can we go and read the Wokingham paper?
So mostly tweeting from at Tom J. Crocker, and then it's wokinghampaper.co.uk as well. It's got all the reports and stuff on there, but I'll say most of the links will go up on my Twitter as well, so that's the main place to find my stuff on there.
Excellent. Well, I will put both of those in the description of this episode that pops up on the podcast feed and on the website. So if you didn't catch that, you can go click on those, give Tom a follow. We will be back with the main edition of this show. It will either be Monday or Wednesday. I'm still waiting just to confirm with a couple of people when they can do the show. And Tom, hopefully I'll speak to you next Friday when we're talking about a couple of league wins.
Yes, absolutely. Look forward to it.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much and have a great day.
Cheers and you. Bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.